scripture lesson today is kind of an obscure text. It's found in the prophet Isaiah. Listen for the word of God and let it find you where you are on your journey today. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters, who brings out the chariot and horse and the army and the warrior. They lie down and cannot rise. They are extinguished, quenched like a wick. Do not remember the former things or consider the things of old, for I am about to do a new thing in you. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness, the rivers in the desert. The wild animal will honor me, the jackal and the ostriches, for I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to drink to my chosen people, the people whom I have formed for myself, that they might declare my praise. The word of life. Thanks be to God. This is a part of scripture that is commonly known by biblical scholars as 2nd Isaiah. It begins what is called the Salvation Orator. That begins in Isaiah 43 and runs through the end of the book, which is Isaiah 60. And it's the story basically of Israel. Israel is told how to live. Israel messes up. God does something to create a catastrophe, so they see what they've done. They repent. God sends salvation to them. And this was a time when, through Nebuchadnezzar, biblical theologians will say that God used Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon to come in to overthrow Israel. Part of the people were sent to Babylon. Some of the people stayed in Judah. And now their sins have been forgiven, and God says, I'm going to do a new thing for you. It's the story of hope, the story of salvation. But it's also the story of the soul. That something comes up, God tells us we need to work on it, we get it resolved, God brings us into a newer depth, a newer way of being, and then we find the next thing that we have to start working on. And it's also, I think, the story of the church. If you've been raised in a church, you know that pastors come and pastors go. And if you haven't, then this may be your first journey. But I was thinking about all the things that have happened in this church this past year, all the remarkable things. And I want you to help me name them. What are some of the accomplishments that you have seen in the congregation this year?
More kids.
More kids, which is great. Weddings.
New members.
21, by the way. And how many people were at the Christmas pot?
About 40.
I'm sorry? Christmas without him. Yeah. I think Bo and Kenny organized that. Thank you. Good. I was hoping someone was going to say that. First place in the Pride Parade. Yes. And the handing over of the new leadership of the food pantry. And I do want to say thank you again to Kent, because you have set the bar high, and I think you do hospitality better than anyone I know. Well, in our society, we have seen where there's equality in marriage, and there has been a swarm of marriages. I always said that I would rarely marry heterosexual people until everyone can get married. And now everyone can get married, and I'm so sick of weddings, I can't stand it. What other things have happened in this church?
Connection with our Muslim neighbors.
Yeah. We started the New Beginnings thing. If you haven't been a part of that, it's where people are gathering together and talking about the new vision for the church. And then everyone will get together and create a vision and bring it to you and ask if you approve of this. And then once you have a vision for the new church, then you'll be ready to start the journey of finding the settled pastor. We do have two people who are set to co-chair the search committee. That's Kent and Suzanne. And so now that we've named our accomplishments, I'm going to suggest some things that I would really like you to do. And that is, one, we've got to get the search committee up and started. I've been here for almost 15 months, and so that needs to get done. I want to charge the Social Justice Committee to look at our church and see where we're putting our carbon footprint. And I also want to charge the Social Justice Committee to work with the food pantry so we're not throwing away so much cardboard when the boxes come in. I'm going to ask the Assets Committee to start looking at our budget and to figure out what we're going to do with it once we have a vision for the church. And I'm going to ask all the people on Leadership Council that once you get your job descriptions figured out, that you write down what you do and you start bringing in new people on the committees. I don't want to hear anymore the same people do the same things. We have 21 new people that we can start bringing in, and other people who don't do that, right? I believe that God is doing a new thing in this church. I believe that the voice of this church is so important. I believe this is a unique voice for Oklahoma City and people who desperately need to hear your voice. There was a man I was talking to, and he said, you know, I feel like gay people are my brothers and sisters. I just don't think they should get married. And I said, you know, that's the kind of homophobia that drives people into the closet and gives them no hope. And when he started telling me about all of his Christian values, I said, tell me that once you've stood at a young man's funeral who's died from suicide. I've done it 5 times. This church's voice is so important. There are kids and adults who need to hear your voice. And that's why it's incumbent upon us to work together and to support each other. Now, we all have our flaws. We all have things we have to work on. But while we're working on ourselves, we're taking a journey as a church. And I would say that the journey is not worth taking unless we all get there together. I want you to think about the ways that God is doing a new thing in your life. Because when God calls us to a new way of being, that's what resurrection is. That's what resurrection is. And it is my hope that for all of us, and myself included, that we will take away the barriers that keep us from God and learn to live as fully resurrected people. I've been reading about Ignatian spirituality. It's the followers of St. Ignatius or Jesuits. And one of the things that he suggests is just live into the freedom that God has given to you. Whatever keeps you from that freedom, get rid of that so you can live into the freedom of God. Old Presbyterians call it sin, but I prefer to think of it as living into the fullness of God. Where is God calling you? Where is God calling this church? The past is over. Soon we'll say hello to a new year. As we do, let's leave behind grudges. Let's leave behind places where we stumbled. Let's leave behind our own faults and live into the thing that God is calling you. God is doing a new thing in our church and in your lives. I just wonder what that is, what that will look like, and what that will be. Think about it. Amen.